And hi there, everybody. It is time for a podcast. I'm Mark Nagy, your fearless leader. And let's talk about just a few random things tonight. First of all, I'm completely new to the whole podcasting thing. I enjoy them. I enjoy listening to them. But some of them are just absurdly long. And I don't know who has 90 minutes, unless you're in the car or you're just trying to kill time at work, to be really entertained for a full 90 minutes. So my podcasts are never going to be ridiculously long. I know people got things to do, and frankly, there's only so much that I can talk about. I like to hear my own voice. I don't like to hear it that much. So just a few things to talk about tonight. I'm actually here in a hotel room in Indianapolis. I'm doing some freelance work for some events taking place at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's really interesting because I was obviously a sportscaster for 15 years. And even the last couple of years that I was a sportscaster, I really didn't go on the road very much. And everybody who becomes a sportscaster, for the most part, they do it because they want to go to the games. You don't want to be stuck in an office somewhere. You want to experience those sporting events. And I really didn't do very much of that my last couple of years, which kind of added to me not really liking the job very much. But since I've been out of the business full time, I've gotten to cover some really cool events. Covered in Indianapolis IndyCar race in Dallas. I'm here in Indianapolis this weekend. I've covered some motorsports stuff in Utah. I've never been to Utah before, so that was a really neat experience. And then just as a fan, I've been able to go to a lot more sporting events as well. NHL games, baseball games, and the majors, just because I have a schedule that's just now much, much more conducive to that kind of thing. So actually, that leads into the next thing that I'm going to talk about, is that the United States men's national soccer team played in Nashville the other night, and I had a tank of gas, and I had July 4th off. So I thought, why not go? So I watched the United States beat Jamaica 3-1 in Nashville at Nissan Stadium, where the Titans normally play. And there was some, it was a really neat event. Even with an hour lightning delay, which was awful, and the fact that that took a while to get everything going, it was still a great time. I loved it. I hadn't seen the United States in action since the World Cup qualifier against Mexico back in 2013 in Columbus, Ohio. So I really was happy to watch Christian Pulisic and the future of American soccer. But there was all this hand-wringing I saw from the soccer community wondering if the fact that there were less than 30,000 fans at that game was possibly going to hurt Nashville's chances for hosting a World Cup event when the United States, Mexico, and Canada host the World Cup in 2026. There are going to be 10 American cities that will be hosting some of those games. 16 cities total, with games also in Mexico and Canada, and the United States gets, I believe, 10 of them. But there was this talk that, well, you know, Nashville isn't proving to be a soccer town. Well, first of all, remember, this was the Gold Cup. World Cup qualifiers to me are much more important. Also, this game, you didn't even know that the United States was going to be playing in it until a few days before, because this was a semifinal game. They still had to win in the quarterfinals. So it took some time to really understand that the United States was going to be playing in Nashville. Then as well, this was on July 3rd. This is a holiday week, and it's kind of a weird holiday week because it's, you know, the Independence Day was on the Thursday, and it was an 8:30 local time start, which is later. So, and also, it wasn't like the United States was, you know, getting 60,000 fans in some of these other locations where they've played games. They really didn't have a lot of folks in Philadelphia for an earlier game in this tournament before. And so Nashville is certainly a city that should get top consideration to host a World Cup game. If you want to put your best foot forward and you want to show folks around the world a good time, send them to Nashville, let them go down Broadway. Nashville has proven that they can host big events, not just concerts, but also big-time sporting events. When the Predators were in the Stanley Cup Final a few years ago, the images that came out of Nashville really was kind of Nashville's coming out party. And then obviously the NFL Draft, which just, you know, rocked everybody's socks off earlier this year, the amount of fans that showed up. And it is funny, if you really aren't a sports fan, and you hear somebody say, yeah, hundreds of thousands of people showed up to hear people read people's names. When you think about it that way, it is actually really interesting. There's no actual games being played. This is just, you know, a commissioner that everyone hates walking up there and saying people's names. And people still showed up, hundreds of thousands of them. So Nashville has grown, you know, by leaps and bounds over the past 10 years or so. I can remember covering the Lady Vols in an SEC tournament probably about 12 years ago, and it didn't even enter my mind to go drive down Broadway. And today, all around Nashville and all around Broadway, where all the bars and restaurants and shops are, they can't build the hotels and they can't build the condos and apartments fast enough. And obviously that does bring with it its own type of trouble. But when you think about the fact that about a decade ago, Nashville and Birmingham were very similar in terms of population, in terms of location in the country, in terms of climate, very similar. And Nashville kind of took that next step forward, and Birmingham has not. So it's a good problem to have to figure out what the future of Nashville is going to be. Now, I don't think I could live in Nashville. I think Knoxville is much more my speed. Nashville is a fun place to go visit for a couple of days, and it's definitely a great place to go see a sporting event. So I just think that that this was a good time. I really enjoyed my time there in Nashville watching the U.S. men's national team. Christian Pulisic, the future of American soccer. He had two goals and 3-1 win over Jamaica in that semifinal. He's going to be playing for Chelsea in the English Premier League next year. So that is only going to do nothing but help his brand. He's only 20 years old. So I think that his future is bright. Somebody asked me while I was in that lightning delay, I actually did a live Periscope from the 200 level as folks are just sort of standing around waiting. And somebody asked me, well, how do you fix American soccer? Because, of course, the Americans missed out on the World Cup last time around, which is inexcusable in CONCACAF. And my answer was, just get a bunch of Christian Pulisics. He's the future of American soccer. He is by far our top export. And it's going to be really fun watching him. And I hope that we have some other soccer players that can kind of match his ability. The other thing that I wanted to talk about tonight is the projections for Tennessee's 2019 football season. I mean, we're in the time of year where there's really very little going on in the world of sports. So if you're a Tennessee football fan, you're still a month away from those camps even opening. So you have to just sort of think about it. What is Tennessee going to do in 2019? And ESPN came out with something, I guess it was earlier today. I'm recording this on Friday, July 5th. And according to ESPN's Football Power Index, whatever that actually means, don't have really the capability of doing that math, but the Vols, and I'm reading this from the Rocky Top Insider website, by the way. You can always check those guys out. Nathaniel and that crew just do a terrific job. The Vols are 50% favorites or better in 9 of their 12 regular season games. So the only games that they're not favored to win, according to this FPI, are the road games against Florida and Alabama and the home game against Georgia. So you know, if you just go by what the favorite, what those numbers say right now, is that Tennessee should go 9-3. And I know that Tennessee's schedule is not as tough as in recent years. And I know that Tennessee has 8 games at Neyland Stadium. But I'm still trying to figure out how that's going to happen. I know that there's skill players that Jared Garantano is going to have the ability to get the ball in space, hopefully. I know that there are some really talented freshmen that are going to get time right away. But I just know what I've seen from Tennessee football in recent years, and I just don't see how that can happen. Now, there's still a long time to go until we hit August 31st, but that is asking a lot from a team that went 5-7 last year, and a team that is still extremely young and extremely shaky, especially on that offensive line. And you don't know what you're going to get from Trey Smith. You don't know if he's going to be able to come back and play at the level that everyone expects. And we certainly hope that he does. He is a great ambassador for Tennessee football, and he has a bright future, but there obviously are those health concerns. But just from a football point of view, they've got to keep Jared Garantano upright. And along with that, Jared Garantano's got to get rid of the ball earlier. And we haven't seen much of that over the past year and a half. Maybe another year of seasoning. Maybe this time that now he's been able to spend with Jim Chaney and T. Martin will pay dividends for him. But personally, I just look at it and I don't know how Tennessee is going to be in that 9-3, 8-4 kind of range. And just saying that, you know, right now as of July 5th. But we'll obviously know more about that in the very near future. One other note, if you have not had the chance yet to pick up Decade of Dysfunction, that book that I wrote, you know, it is, as I told Russell Smith on his podcast a couple of weeks ago, you know, this, I just wrote a bonus chapter and it is flat out Hemingway. It is that good, folks. You're really going to want to pick it up. Now, if you did previously purchase the book, just email me or send me a direct message on Twitter and I will email you the chapter for free. I joke around, you know, saying this is a cash grab, but no, it's not. I just want to write a chapter about the 2018 season and I've republished the book. If you have not purchased the book, just go to Amazon.com and look for Decade of Dysfunction. Make sure, though, that you're looking for the updated 2019 version of Decade of Dysfunction. That way you definitely get the bonus chapter on the 2018 season. So anyway, this is, like I said, this podcast is going about 13, 14 minutes. Last thing I'm going to do is hold you guys out there for an hour and a half. I just honestly don't have that much to talk about. So I'm not going to, you know, spend the rest of my time just rambling. I think 13 or 14 minutes of rambling is more than enough. So anyway, thank you very much for listening. In the weeks and months to come, we're going to do a few more of these as time goes on, as there's interesting things to talk about. We'll get some interviews with some interesting folks in the world of sports and elsewhere. And I hope you guys stick around. All right. We'll talk to you later.